Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Yes, Lord, be lifted high. Be lifted high, Lord, in our lives. Be lifted high, Lord, in our families, Lord God. Be lifted high in our church. Be lifted high in our nation as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you want the Lord to be lifted high in your lives? How many of you want the Lord to be lifted high in your families? I'd like the Lord to be lifted high in this church. I'd like the Lord to be lifted high in our nation. You know, even as we have, you know, moments, decisive moments in our nation coming up in the next few weeks, and it's always good to pray and to lift up. I want to ask my friend Ja Ring to come up here and pray even for our nation. And she's from another nation, Burma, Myanmar. I've asked her to pray in her language, but I want her to pray that the Lord would be lifted high even in our nation. You know, as we get ready for elections and things like that, I'm trusting in the Lord that He is seated upon His throne, that political leaders will come and will go, and we pray for them and we thank the Lord for them. But our trust is in the Lord. Would you pray for our nation that the Lord would be lifted high?
Papa, Gloria Namara Tai Bongji Basiro, Goro Tamro Yom Jibare Pa, Goro Shindi, Tamra Piapede, Tamro Goguya, Tamra Piapede, the town Jesu Dene, the American Nanga, only Shunamra Gongji Bere Pa, Goro Kudimale, Majakima, Yukaway, Tamra Yukaway Shibare Pa, when you know Piat Kenditale, a Mutego Puro Muba, Y Numu Madile, Goro Go Tayoti Johan Chen, Goro Go Tayo, Goguay, Chen Corona Tayo, two tower at the Tapseva, President only Shunamra Gongji Bare. Goro, the Moya Niemia, the Goro Jesu or Jama Pa, Goro, Winion of Piata, you are Mutago Puro Muba, Goro, Winion of Piata, you low Sharo Muba, Pa, they are chains and a low Natima cross Cabiro Muba, General Yam Yolencia, the Goro Pibare, Inanga, Time Piet, the King, the Goro Shitan and Pibare Pa, Goro Gotan, General Gokwe Bai, Goro Dan and the Mochimo Maya Pa, Goro, and all Piat came Pede. Goro, Goro Shindan and the Moya, the King Gokwea Pibare Pa. Father God, you are our wonderful, you are our counselor, you are our Father God, you are the you are this nation, you are the Father of this nation, Lord. We live up you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Lord, we just need you, Lord, in our hearts, in our life, in everyone's. We all need you, Lord. We all need to turn back and we have to bow down. We have to, Lord, we have to repent ours. Sins and all we have done wrong, Lord. Tonight we come back to you. We need you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We just want to be with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, touch to everyone's of here. Talk to everyone's of here, Lord. We just give thanks to you, all you have done, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Be lifted up, O Lord. Be lifted up.
Be lifted high. In our world, be lifted high. In our love, be lifted high.
I've been asked to sing it in Spanish, so I'm going to sing it in Spanish. Is that all right?
En mi vida, te exaltaré en este mundo. Te exaltaré mi vida, te exaltaré. Oh, en mi vida, te exaltaré en este mundo, te exaltaré en mi. Te exaltaré. Sing in my life.
Everybody say.
Be lifted high in our world. Be lifted in our high love. In our love. Be lifted.
Be lifted high, Lord Jesus. Be lifted high. And Lord, I pray even as we get into your word that you would be lifted high, that Jesus would be easy to be seen. Lord, we pray your grace. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit might be saying. Lord, draw us closer to you, Lord. Let us have that hunger, that thirsting, Lord God, that thirsting for you, for your, Lord, for your power, for your glory, for your love. Lord, I pray that we would be satisfied in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can take your seats. Thank you so much for your ministry here as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you want to greet everybody that's watching online? I believe my wife is watching online, so I want to greet everybody else that's watching online as well. My name is Philip Steele. I'm one of the pastors here. I have the privilege of being the missions pastor. And our local church, we do belong to a greater family of churches called Every Nation. And just recently, we celebrated a worldwide conference that we do every 3 years. And we've got a little video clip that explains. It's not the recap of, some of you maybe saw the recap video of our conference, but this is just a little video of kind of explaining who we are, where we're going, kind of why we exist. So if we could put that video on, that'd be great.
Sent hundreds of missionaries and church planters across the globe. Together, we've established churches and campus ministries in over 70 nations, and the work is far from over. There are more than 100 nations to go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Vamos.
Auf geht's.
Die Kurse.
Vamos ran.
Let's go.
Atiende.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. We just had to show that. There's a lot of familiar faces. It was because we have our international offices just down the street here. That was recorded. A lot of it was recorded here, so there were some familiar faces there. So I thought it was pretty good. Let's get into the Word a little bit. I've been reading out of the book of the Psalms. You know, the Psalms give us just a lot of different emotions and, you know, the kind of the praise unto the Lord, as well as moments of deep anguish and maybe even frustration. And the Psalms are interesting because it's not necessarily God speaking to us, but it's people speaking to God. And it got recorded in the canon of Scripture as part of the inspired Word of God. So it is God's Word for us, even though it's not God's Word directly to us. And I was reading Psalm 63 the other day, and I saw five words that just kind of jumped out of the page at me. We'll get into it at the beginning. We'll look at those five words, and then we'll go back over the first few verses of Psalm 63. But the words were thirst, and then power, glory, love, and then satisfied. So let's get in. We're going to get into those words. We'll get into the, if we can get into the psalm itself there. You know, the Psalm 63, as we get into thirst, you know, you can see where somebody is. You can see even even what's important in their lives. If you've got a smartphone, the first app that you go to in the morning, that's probably your priority. You know, do you go to the news? Do you go to, you know, what is it that you go to? Do you go to, and I've got the Bible on my smartphone. You know, a lot of times it's like Facebook is just yelling at you, like, you got to open me up. You got to see what's going on. Like, you can't live without me. But sometimes we just have to, we have to force ourselves to go to the Word first. And so I try to go to, or you can also see where somebody's at. You can see where their priority, what they're thirsting for. You can see what they're thirsting for by what they spend their money on. We'll just pause right there. We'll just pause. It's just a deep pause right there. Because you can really see somebody's priority by how they spend their money and also how they spend their time, especially free time. If you have some free time, we can see what your priorities are. Now, I'm not against doing good things and having fun, you know, World Series going on, or you're going to watch a football game. But if all those good things take the place of the best things, you can end up with some wrong priorities. And you can end up, it's like you go and get junk food, and you fill yourself up on junk food, but then there's a banquet, but you've already filled up your soul with all this junk food of, you know, it might be good things, but it's really not the best things. It's not the eternal thing. So let's get into Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. You, O God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and a parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. I'm just hoping that we've seen the Lord in this place. If you're here for the very first time, or if you're in this kind of atmosphere, some of you maybe are in this church for the first time, but I can tell you're not in this kind of a worship setting. You've been in the presence of the Lord before, even though it might be the first time in this particular sanctuary. Some of you, though, this might just be weird. Like, what is this? They raise their hands. What's going on here? It's like they're talking to this invisible being. And yeah, we are. We're talking to an invisible being. God is invisible and we worship. I'm hoping that you've seen in the sanctuary, in the gathering of the saints. I'm hoping that you've seen his power. And I've seen you in the sanctuary, beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And I do think there's a hunger in us for something more than just what we can see or what we can feel or what we can taste or smell. Some of it has to do with power. You know, some people, what they want is they want power. They say knowledge is power, money is power. Some politicians might get into it. They can feel the power and they can, you know, everybody going after it. But I was just reading it, just something new that came out from NASA in these days. Man, I did it again. I'm originally from Minnesota. Sometimes I lived in Costa Rica for 12 years. My wife is from Honduras, and I preach a lot in Spanish, and sometimes it just comes out in Spanish. I caught myself there. I don't know if you all caught that, but if it comes out in Spanish, I'll try to catch up with it again, and we'll get it back into English, okay? So just bear with me. Anyway, I was reading about a new discovery by NASA, where what they found is that they've believe now that there's 10 times more galaxies than what they previously believed. What they're saying now, it's not only 200 billion, but now it's like 2 trillion galaxies. And those kind of numbers just go, you know, galaxy, you know, but it's 2 trillion. I mean, we talk about, you know, the national debt or whatever, 17, I don't know, what is that now? The trillion, you know, those kind of numbers. But when you talk about our Milky Way, our galaxy has between 100 and 300 billion stars. And so if you add up all those 2 trillion galaxies and how many each one, and you think about all that, there was a power when God said, let there be light, and it just all started. Even the book of Romans talks and tells us, ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible power, his invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen. You just walk outside and even try to count the number of stars you see in nature. And it goes on a macro level as well as it goes on a micro level. What they're saying now about the cells, even just one cell, is as complicated as a mega city with all the different, you know, channels and all the different highways and ports of entry into that cell. So, you know, there's a power there. And somehow as humans, it's like we want to tap into something. We want something bigger than ourselves. I can remember when I was living in Costa Rica. We lived there with my wife. My three children were born in Costa Rica. And there was a moment where we were doing medical missions on the north side of Costa Rica up towards the Nicaraguan border. And we were staying at this military base. There was a group of about probably 20 Americans that had come down, doctors, nurses, and things like that, other support staff. And we had a vehicle for everybody else, a 25-passenger vehicle, and then I had my little Jeep that I had. And so I stayed behind one time just a little bit. Of course, it was a military base, so there were some career military people there. And the one guy said, "Hey, you wanna shoot some lead?" And, you know, and I was like, you know, yeah, sure. And I mean, I grew up on a farm in Minnesota. We shot shotguns once in a while. But he let us shoot, I don't know what it was, M16. Or it was an automatic rifle anyway. And, if you know, for me, being, you know, the first time, if you shot weapons before, you know, it might not be a big thing for you. But for the first time, it was like, wow. Man. Wow. You know, we put it on automatic. And I actually hit the target. And it's like this kind of this rush of power. And you can get kind of that, you know, that rush, maybe doing other things, whatever it might be. But I felt that kind of rush. And then the Lord put in my heart that really the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're divine to the destruction of spiritual strongholds. You know, it's invisible, but we do have, in Christ Jesus, we do have access to that kind of power. Even Jesus said, "You will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses." You know, that power, the word is dunamis, like dynamite. We want to have power. You want to have power over people, or you want to have power or something like that. It's power over your own fears. It's power to be a witness, power to be a martyr for the name of Jesus, power to live a life that's really worth living. It's the power of God to be with us. You know, as I was in the sanctuary, I beheld your power. And then the second thing he said is I beheld your glory. You know, people are looking for, it seems like we're looking for glory, we're looking for recognition, we're looking for somebody to realize even our greatness. If they could really, you know, I think of Cleveland right now. You know, the Cavaliers won the NBA. We got a little bit of love there, don't we? And I hope there's nobody from Chicago here. We just better, you know, World Series going on. We might get in some fights here. Let's just bring it down. Bring it down here a little bit. I can remember when I was in high school in Minnesota one time. This was a long time ago, and this was not, this was high school. But for us to win the state championship, it's like we thought we were, you know, the glory and everything like that. But you know what? 2 weeks later, we were just as empty. We were looking for something else. You know, that fading glory. And even the rings that the Cavaliers got, you know, first time in I don't know how many years or whatever like that, a championship ring. You know, after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, after 100 years, after 1,000 years, we're going for a glory that won't ever, ever, ever fade. That's the glory of God. I think of Jesus when he was tempted. You know, the devil came to him after he had fasted 40 days. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 4. It's also in, I think, Luke chapter 4. If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into bread. You know, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but only by the word that comes out of God's mouth." And one of the temptations was that the devil took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. You know, so the devil showed him, you know, I don't know, all the, you know, the Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire, maybe even the future glory. You know, we might say the United States, powerful country, all the glory of, you know, the riches of, you know, Bill Gates or Microsoft, or the glory of the championship, you know, the Boston Celtics in the 70s or whatever it was, you know, the glory. And then the devil says, if you worship me falling down, I'll give you all this glory. And what was Jesus' response? He was able to resist that temptation for that kind of temporal glory. And he said, no, you should only worship the Lord your God. Because that glory is so passing. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Different actors, different models, different bodybuilders are looking for that recognition, for that glory. Even architects and financial people can be looking for that. A few years ago, I had the privilege of going to the Burj Khalifa, world's tallest building, Dubai. Something like almost, I think it's almost 3,200, it's 2,722 feet high, almost, it's 830 meters high. So it's like a half a mile high. So I'm looking at, you know, we were there. I mean, it's huge. And then we took the tour. But in the tour, what I noticed is you could see all these, you know, this is the name of the architect. And by the way, it's the biggest building in the world. And this is the name of the, you know, this is how long, and by the way, it's the biggest, it's the tallest building. Did I say it's the tallest building in the world? Did I say, you want to make sure that you know that this is, you know, this is our glory, you know. It made me feel like I was almost like in Genesis 11 where they built a tower that would reach up to heavens, you know, so we make a name for ourselves for our glory. That's really what it felt like. You know, this is just one example, but how many times, you know, even in my own life, we're looking for that recognition, we're looking for that glory, we're looking for that. But can we come into the sanctuary? Can we hunger and thirst for His glory? His glory. Colossians tells us, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What's this mystery? The mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us is a whole lot better than, you know, not to knock the Burj Khalifa, whatever else it might be. You know, I'm from Minnesota. The Mall of America used to be the biggest mall in the world. I went to 600 different stores and, you know, whatever it might be, whatever championship team you might have. But Christ in us is the real hope of glory. Or how about John chapter 17? The glory that you have given me, I have given to them so that they may be one, even as we are one. If we can see the glory of God in Christ Jesus, if we can see the glory of God in our other brothers and sisters, we can be one. That's real glory. You're going to be hungering and thirsting until you can come to that place of rest, while your soul will find rest in Him alone. Glory, power, love is the last one. You know, the world looks for love, looks for acceptance. And if you look for love in your spouse, I know there's going to be a level of love, but if you're looking for that perfect love, if you're looking for that matchless love, you know, I'm gonna marry this wonderful person, and she's gonna solve all my problems. But what happens is, if we don't see the glory of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus, and we look for that perfection in our spouse, in our children, in our job, in our bank account, and whatever else it might be besides Jesus Christ, we are going to be disappointed. And you're going to be thirsting and thirsting and thirsting. And you're going to be putting some unrealistic expectations upon your spouse, upon your children, upon your parents. Well, if I would have just had that love from the Father, from my earthly Father. No earthly Father is perfect. No earthly Father is going to give you what the Heavenly Father is going to give. No spouse is perfect. No spouse is going to be able to give you what, I'm going to try to say something here. I hope you can catch it. No earthly spouse is going to be able to give you what the Heavenly Spouse, Jesus is the bridegroom, we're the bride. No earthly spouse is going to be able to give you what only He can give you. If you don't have that intimacy, if you don't have that close relationship, friendship with Jesus Christ as your lover, you will be searching high and low for years, for decades, until you just find your satisfaction in Christ and Christ alone. Greater love has no one than this, that He laid down His life for His friends, Jesus said. Romans chapter 5 says it this way. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And there is no greater love. There is nothing beyond that. You're going to be searching high and low until you find your satisfaction, until you're fully satisfied in Christ Jesus. I can remember when I mentioned we lived in Costa Rica, and we lived in a, you know, rented house, and then we bought a piece of property. And a friend of mine was an architect, and he was able to, you know, he did this kind of crazy design, kind of the house of your dreams and everything. So we're in San Jose, on the west side of San Jose. looking into the mountains, just some crazy windows. And, you know, so we're renting, but at the same time, we're building. And I don't know if we don't have all the building, you know, there are building codes, obviously, because there's earthquakes. So we had to do a lot of cement work, a lot of rebar and everything like that. But because we were still paying our, you know, our rent, and then we had to start paying on our house, and we decided, hey, you know, let's just move in. We're not quite done yet, but let's just move in. So we had one bathroom, like one out of the three bathrooms that was done. You know, we'll be satisfied when we get the other two bathrooms done. So then we got these other two bathrooms done, and then we started looking around, and you know, that ceiling there kind of needs some work. So let's work on the ceiling, and then we'll be satisfied when we get the ceiling done. And then we kind of looked at the floor, and my son at the time, he was like, I think, a year and a half old. And we looked at and he was scraping up his knees all the time, and we need to do something about, you know, new ceramic or something. We need, the floor that we put in, it's just, you know, we just need it. When we do that, then we'll be satisfied. You know, and then you get that done, and then you, how many of you have been there where you just kind of, you know, are you ever going to be satisfied? You know, when I get this new car, I've always wanted a Corvette, you know, and I always, you know, I see these Corvettes and I just, man, wow. But then when I pray and I start asking the Lord, you know, Lord, can I, you know, and then when my soul finds rest in the Lord and not in the Corvette that I wish I could have, then I can find some satisfaction in Jesus. Because whatever the car is, whatever the iPhone is, whatever the, you know, the computer, whatever the job is, when I get this, when my son becomes, then I'll be satisfied. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive to get new things or, you know, do better, make progress, get your degree, all that kind of stuff. Don't be lazy. But if you're looking for that stuff to find your satisfaction, I just invite you to come into the sanctuary and behold his power, behold his glory, behold his love. Amen. Get a little love there, a little bit anyway. How about this, John chapter 4. Whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's John chapter 4. If you read it, it talks about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who had five husbands, and the one she was living with right now was not her husband. You know, in the context, you know, those relationships, or the other people being, you being rejected by other people. Oh, if I were just accepted, then I would be satisfied. No, what you need to do is find the living water that comes from Jesus Christ. Until then, you are going to be searching high and low. How about John chapter 6? Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Have you had that bread of life? Have you had it? Maybe you've had it in the past. Have you had it today, the bread of life? Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, in the context of this one, Jesus in John chapter 6, Jesus had multiplied the fish and the bread, fed 5,000 people. And then when they saw it, the people in John, at the beginning of the chapter, the people discerned that he was the prophet who is to come. And what they were really looking for was this Messiah, this prophet. In their context, they were looking for somebody that was going to get them out of the Roman oppression. They were looking for a military leader, political leader, like another David, another Moses. And this is the prophet that has come. Let's make him king. And John chapter 6 talks about Jesus kind of withdrew. He walks on the water, and then later he starts to say, I'm the bread of life. And we mentioned it a little bit when we prayed for our country. We're looking for Jesus to be our Savior. There is no human that can take the weight of the salvation of a country, of a state, of a city, of a family, of a person, except for Jesus Christ. Until you, your heart is found in that, you're going to continue to search high and low. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, let's look at this again. We're going to go back to the original psalm. We're just going to read through it real slow. But you, God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. Do you earnestly seek God? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Do you earnestly? Or is it just kind of half-hearted? Is it just kind of, well, I come on Sunday. Well, you know, I read my Bible, you know, once or twice a week. And, you know, I just, so many other things. And I just got to find out what's on Facebook. Got to find Twitter, you know, Instagram. All my friends are there. So I got to earnestly. And sometimes you do have to fight for it. You have to fight your own soul. You have to fight your own, all the distractions, all the other attractions, all the things that would just pound you to say, look at me, look at me. You go into a store and all these things that you didn't even know exist, they're yelling at you, buy me, buy me, buy me. You need me, you need me. You, O God, are my God. I earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and a parched land where there is no water. Oh, I wish we could come to that realization. I'm talking to myself, too. I wish we could come to that realization. We would realize we're in a place where there is no water. And the things that this world offers, there is no true water. There's no living water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and have beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life. And my reaction, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, even that you would challenge us to come deeper into you. God, and I pray for each and every person here. God, wherever we are in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey, some of us maybe have known you for years, for decades. For others, this might be new. For others, they had come to you, but the things of this world have choked out the word and the desire for you. Lord, I pray that your hand, your grace, your glory, your power, we could see it again. I want to ask Donnie to come on up here and just pray. And if you feel anything from the Holy Spirit as well, just any moving of the Spirit, just come on up here and pray as you would see fit. You can use this mic.
Been a good night so far, hasn't it? Yeah. Great word, Pastor Phil. This is just something that's been on me probably the last few days, and it's goes right along with what Pastor Phil was talking about. It was Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And he was speaking to the church in Ephesus, which is the one that Paul spent the most time at, probably had the deepest epistle. And yet he had this against them. Not that it was stolen or that it was taken from them, but they had forsaken their first passion. And I really believe that as we look in our nation and we look at our lives and the state of the church right now, we need to get back to our first passion. You know, we've lost it and we've misguided it. We've taken our passions and we've just been led by them and just ran wild and got negative, because your passion has always got to be tied to your purpose. And the church has got to get back to its purpose. And when it gets back to its purpose, it's going to release that passion that we first had when we first got saved. Do you remember when you first gave your life to Jesus? You remember those of you married? You remember that when you first got married? You remember you may not have had anything. I think my first apartment, you could have opened the front door. If we would have had a back door, you would have hit it. But one thing we did have, we had passion. We were happy sleeping on our futon couch. We were happy back in the day when they had Hollywood Video. We'd go to Hollywood Video and rent movies because we couldn't go to the big movie theater because it was tight. But we had passion, and it was in our purpose. And I think the church, and many of us, even as Pastor Phil was talking about, we need to get back to our purpose so our passion can follow it. Our passion should always follow our purpose. But I think much of the church is just going through the motions. And even as Pastor Phil was talking about, I feel like many of us, whether in ministry, whether in church for 20, 15, 5 years, maybe just a month, you've started to go just through the motions. It becomes a cultural thing. But we need to get our passion back. our passion to where we're connected to it. And we're like, you know, you see them Titan fans painting their face and screaming and yelling and shouting at Marcus Mariota and all those type of things. We need to get our passion back for Jesus. And it's not a matter of vocal or loud or anything like that. Real passion is demonstrated. We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was passion. He was going to pursue it. He was passionate about you because it was connected to his purpose. And you feel like, I see you saying something there, Pastor Phil. If that's just ringing with you, you say, you know, I've heard this, you know, I heard this message about coming back to finding that love in Jesus, being satisfied with it, not being able to find the glory out by myself, having the $100 bills and having that kind of power. But you want that passion back. You want your purpose back so that we can make a difference. We can change not only our families, our city, our nation, and our world if people would just walk in their purpose and walk in their passion. It would change everything. You just lift your hand and say, you know what, Pastor, just pray for me. I'm not going to have you get out of your seat. I'm not going to have you get up, do anything like that. But you say, I want my passion back. I want my purpose back. Or maybe I want my purpose for the first time. Just lift your hand. So I'm making sure I'm not just some Jimmy John's I ate. But I see, you know, there's many of us in this room. So I'm just going to pray for us all. I'm going to pray that we'll go back to our first love. We'll go back to our passion. But we can't help but share about what Jesus has done. I mean, I'm not gonna go much longer. Remember when the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA championship for the first time? And there were people that were Cavalier fans that never even were Cavalier fans, but they were passionate, they were excited, they came out of the woodwork. I'm like, you're a Cavs fan? Yeah, I'm a Cavs fan now. They were pumped. Why? It was their passion was reignited. What if we were like that with Christ? What if we were like that about what God is doing in our church and in the churches and in our city? It would change everything. So, Lord, I thank you. Lord, even as we lift those people, lifted their hands and say, Lord, we're repenting. We're having a change of mind, Father. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that we'd begin to do the works of our first love. Lord, that you would reignite us with our purpose. Father, and as we get a hold of that purpose, Lord, that you're going to light us on fire, Lord, that with your passion and your glory, Father, and your love, Lord, that when people get around us, when people bump into us, they're going to feel your love. They're going to feel your passion, Lord. They won't feel angry, disgruntled, frustrated, complaining, Lord, but it's just going to be a passion and a love for you. Lord, we're crying out, Lord, that you would fill us once again. Lord, that we would be a church that is on fire for you, Father, that burns for you. When we're in the Kroger line or the Publix line, we just can't help but spill over the joy of the Lord onto the people in front of us. Lord, when we go into our work, people are saying, what's different about you? What happened to you? Man, it's all about Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for these people. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, that you would surround them with favor. Lord, that you would connect them once again with their purpose and their passion. And I ask that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Very good, very good. We are going to be dismissed just in a minute here. If you have any prayer needs or anything like that, if there's any people from our ministry team, I want to ask you to come on down. And if you need prayer for healing, salvation, whatever it might be, come on down. Other than that, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And go in peace in the hunger and thirsting of the Lord. So God bless you.